You're listening to Marketing News Canada, Canada's number one show featuring the brightest minds in marketing, PR, and digital advertising.
Welcome to another episode of Marketing News Canada. I am here with Tanya Bevington, Head of Communications, IKEA Canada. She leads the National Corporate Communications and Public Affairs programs for the world-leading home furnishing retailer. A seasoned pro with 20-plus years communications experience, Tanya also sits on the IKEA Canada management team. Thank you for being here.
Oh, my pleasure. And thank you so much for having me today. I was really excited to be able to sit down and to talk to some marketing and communications professionals and share some of our story and our journey. And hopefully it resonates with some of your viewers.
It's amazing. And no doubt some of our listeners and viewers are sitting on an IKEA chair, a desk. Many, I think, marketing and advertising offices are, built with IKEA. And designed, in the IKEA essence of the way it is, just because of the look and the feel and the minimalist vibe.
Well, we love that. And certainly even before I worked at IKEA, it was always the brand was always certainly one of my top favorite go-to brands, and a lot of my furnishing before I started working here too. So it's always great to hear the love and affinity everyone has for the IKEA brand.
It's amazing. So everyone has a great origin story of how they got to where they are. And how did you end up in the world of IKEA?
Well, absolutely. So I, did my undergrad degree in anthropology and sociology. But while I was at university, I went to the University of Western Ontario. I was with an organization doing a lot of event planning and promotions. And that piqued my interest, if you will, in a world of PR and communications, and then did a postgraduate program there and started working in the public sector, actually, for a couple of public sector agencies. I then went to Australia and did my master's in communications and came back to Toronto and started working for the Toronto Waterfront Revitalization Project. And I was there for 10 years. And I think that job in particular really taught me that it was very important to really be passionate about the work that I was doing in communications and marketing. I did a variety of roles while I was there, and I wanted the work that I was personally doing to have that greater impact and know that I was contributing to something larger. So, it was a really exceptional opportunity to be able to see people enjoy some of the parks and public spaces and vibrant communities that I played a small role in, if you will. And nothing was more inspiring than that. So that really taught me my next job too. I really needed to make sure that I was passionate about the work. And then of course, IKEA, the opportunity to move from public sector to private sector was really interesting to me. I've always loved retail, and a lot of my beginning career journey, even as a teen working in retail environment, I've always loved retail, and home furnishing and home decor too also was an area of interest for me. But I really connected, of course I loved IKEA as a customer, but then when I learned more about the journey around sustainability, really our leading with our culture and values, wanting to have that bigger impact in society and play that bigger role, that really intrigued me. And that's how a long story to say how I got there or got here. And I've been here for almost 8 years because I'm so connected. I feel it's such a privilege working for such a special brand.
It's amazing. And those that don't know, maybe tell us maybe some of the highlights of the ways that IKEA is living up to this idea of sustainability and, social responsibility.
Absolutely. And I think that's always something that people are always so pleasantly surprised. I think there's affinity for the brand, and we seem to be a cool brand, but people are always surprised to hear the greater work that we're doing. So, my team and I, it's definitely been our mission and a prime focus to start telling these stories in a bigger way. But one thing to notice that we've been very committed to sustainability for many years as a corporation and becoming more sustainable within our operations. One thing you may not know, we own two wind farms in Canada, which people are always surprised to hear. They're both in Alberta. And because of the wind farms, we actually produce four times the amount of clean energy that it takes to operate our units within Canada. And we've been energy independent since 2015. So that's always a really big, moment. And then now we have bold ambitions to be a fully circular business by 2030. So I think we've been really trying to move the needle on sustainability from a corporate perspective, but also more recently, really trying to enable our customers to live more sustainably. We know, especially in Canada, you know, over 80% of Canadians want to live more sustainably, but don't always know how. And, you know, we think that through our insights, our knowledge, and our home furnishing solutions and offering, we can enable Canadians to live more sustainably at home. And it doesn't have to be, you know, sustainability a luxury for a few, but available to the many. So that's been really exciting to see that transition within our own business too, and helping to enable our customers. But also too, another area that I'm really passionate about and really pleased with is our culture and values and our purpose. Our purpose and our vision are one and the same, and our vision is to create a better everyday life for the many people. And that's been our vision for 70 years. But now we're really seeing over the last few years how important it is to really lead with our purpose and, you know, lead our business through that. We absolutely feel that, you know, it's good business to be a good business. And more customers and coworkers expect that accountability and transparency when it comes to our business practices and how we are doing our part to protect the environment, but also taking care of our people.
It's amazing. I want to highlight two things. Yes. One I want to talk about is the scraps book.
Yes.
Tell me about this, because I saw it in the news, an article about it, and I was like, this is genius.
Wonderful. So, and that's a strong collaboration between our marketing and communications teams. And it's been really exciting, that journey too, where we're looking at opportunities to have that more purposeful discussion. And in this case, you know, food waste is a big problem here in Canada, and 25% of most food gets thrown out every week, or, you know, the stats are quite high in terms of the role that we can play in helping to reduce food waste. So it was a big focus for us last year, was the leap year in life at or sustainability. This year we're in leap year in life at home. But we thought, how can we facilitate that conversation and create engagement with our customers on the topic of food waste? So what we did is we created a free cookbook where we worked with 10 chefs who focus on sustainability across North America to come up with dishes basically using food scraps. So food waste that you would have thrown out. So these amazing, there was 50 recipes, and they were so amazing. And we got such great buzz and interaction because of that. So here, where we are taking an idea to facilitate a meaningful conversation, hopefully also sparking change and a movement here. But we also were able to engage with our coworkers and our customers and just new audiences in new ways. So that was a key thing for us. And we had a ton of PR buzz over it. We had over 60,000 downloads from customers, and the majority of them were new customers. So that was just a really great win for us, in the sense of, you know, engaging on important societal topics, but also connecting with our audiences in new and inspiring ways.
And I don't want to get into the technical aspects of it, but there's also a return policy, not like the Costco one that you hear people take advantage of, but a policy that's about sustainability. Like if the IKEA Billy shelf maybe isn't working in your life anymore, you can actually return it, right? Or you can get it, take it back to IKEA, and you do something cool with it. And if
yes.
Tell us about that.
Oh, sure. Absolutely. Yes. So that's our sell back program. And,
yes.
And we're
okay.
Really, that's been a really exciting story as well, too. So again, you know, there's a lot of talk about unsustainable consumption and mass consumption. And what role do we play as IKEA? And what, you know, role can we play in leadership in terms of circularity and really telling that narrative in an inspiring way? So a couple of years back, we did launch the program through our family membership loyalty program, where if you were done with a beloved IKEA product, you could return it back to IKEA for store credit and really bring that product to have a new life for somebody else too. So there's a really great sustainability message there, that circularity message, and also affordability message too, that maybe then this gives opens up IKEA to a wider audience. And it's been really well received. So clearly there was a big need for, I think in BC, it's been one of our, the province has been most invested in the program. And it's just such a great win. And then to ladder onto that program, the last 2 years, we did a really bold campaign, again, communications and marketing coming together. And instead of promoting deal crashers on Black Friday, we repositioned it to talk about Black Green Friday, where we could have meaningful conversation about unsustainable consumption and that circularity talk. And that was, again, another great way that we've been able to engage with our audiences in new ways and hopefully having that impact. Because for us, it's really important as a brand like IKEA, we know we're big enough to make a difference. We, worldwide have, 450 stores and service a billion people, customer-wise. And in Canada, we also know that we can play that leadership role when it comes to life at home, circularity, climate action, and equality. So we're really excited about this work, and we think that there's more work we can do, and we're happy to take up some of that leadership space.
It's amazing. And those that maybe don't have a vehicle anymore or the ability to drive your IKEA furniture back to IKEA, you also created repurposeful instructions.
Yes. So that was, that was another marketing collaboration. And last year, as I said, our theme was Leap Year in Life at Home, because again, to make a movement, we really wanted the whole organization behind this movement, that, it couldn't just be one area of the business. So another way to engage our customers and finding new purposes for products that they've loved, so they don't end up, on your front curb, if you will, or either somewhere else that you can bring that back. And again, it's that circularity message. And it's been really great and nice to see the buzz and support around that. And even our units really getting into it and extending the lives of some of the campaigns. So for example, back to the Black Green Friday, all of a sudden, our parking lots, we were partnering with organizations like Furniture Bank, where people could bring back any of their products. It didn't have to just be an IKEA product, but there was an opportunity to give another piece of furniture, not IKEA, a second life to maybe somebody in need for it.
It's amazing. So those that are listening, maybe working on the communication side, or those that are on the marketing side, what's your advice and tips for those two worlds working together to produce these incredible campaigns?
And absolutely, I think a key thing is really coming together to work together and not being siloed. And even in past, sometimes our priorities would be different than market, like communications, compared to marketing. So it's really important about coming together and, seeing where we can have the biggest impact. And again, I think the whole organization has to get behind it, as I mentioned, with the Leap Year in Life at Home and sustainability. So this year it's Leap Year in Life at Home. Last year it was sustainability, and really bringing those together too. Of course, we sell home furnishing, we're life at home experts, but where does that all come together? And this year in particular, we've been looking at this more inclusive idea of home, where, it's not just home, my four walls, but it's also home in terms of my neighborhood and my communities and my workplace and our shared home, the planet. So what impact can we have? So for us, it's about getting everyone together, working more collaboratively, going after the things that are authentic to the brand. We want to be purpose-led. So how do we, tell our stories in a more emotive way and connect on a deeper level with our, both our coworkers and our customers and hopefully new customers. So it's storytelling's been a key thing, and not being afraid to go to be bold and go big and having an impact. But that said, in terms of advice for others too, it needs to be authentic to who you are as a brand. We've been on this purpose-led journey for some time. We have clear proof points and actions to support any words or campaigns that we do. So that's really important, that the action goes hand in hand with the stories and the communication.
And maybe those that are students listening, or they're in marketing or in communications, what would you say is the difference between someone who's like, man, I can't decide whether I'm going to go into marketing or I want to go into communications? How would you distinguish between those two roles? Because we talk a lot on the show about, do you go brand side or do you go agency side? how do you know if you want to go comm side or marketing side?
Absolutely. And there's a lot of connection points between marketing and communications. But then I think for example, our communications program at IKEA Canada, the brand positioning is a key one that we do overlap with marketing. And there's our commercial PR or product PR program. But then we also have our corporate PR program and, you know, how we want to show up as a business and how do we engage with them, our stakeholders and media. I think another important area is the trust piece. We both own trust. So, of course, there's the brand trust, but, you know, we're doing a lot of work on that societal trust piece, too, and how we can leverage that. Also at IKEA Canada, communications covers public affairs. So the impact we want to have on that, you know, on some of those broader societal issues as well, too, where we can lean in and show that leadership. Issues management and crisis communications sits there too. And then another big one that I should have mentioned first is the coworker engagement piece and internal communications and really enabling the business through effective communications and our business operations. So I think there's a lot of similarities, you know, around the brand positioning and how we are externally with customers and consumers, but then in communications, there's also the stakeholders, policymakers, influencers, your coworkers. That's another whole bucket of stakeholders to engage with. So for me, I've loved both areas. And, you know, I think in communications, there's always something new going on. It's never the same day twice. So, of course, in the role that I sit in, it's overseeing. And I have also the privilege and opportunity to sit on the management team. So we're also having, you know, bigger, broader discussions about the business, of course. But the nice thing is, too, you can also funnel down into a really specific area of both marketing and communications. So the nice thing is they're both very rewarding and enriching. But that's why I think communications has been the area that I've been in for the longest time. It's been about 20 years.
It's amazing. And those that are maybe, you know, maybe I'm not a charity, I'm not a B Corp, like, you know, mm-hmm. Patagonia or,
yes.
You know, Ben & Jerry's, but IKEA, you're not a registered B Corp, you're not a registered mm-hmm. charity, but you're able to do these incredible, have this incredible impact and tell these incredible stories. So tell me about storytelling and what that means to you and the ways of telling that social impact.
Absolutely. Story. And I think we can continue to push ourselves in bigger ways. As a Swedish company, we've been kind of quietly, humbly going along. We're also a private company too. So there's no legal obligation to share information, tell our stories, but certainly over the years, and I would say, you know, since I've been enrolled for the last coming on 8 years, we see the opportunity to tell the story more. And there is the expectation too. And, you know, our coworkers are so proud of the work that we're doing. And more you're seeing customers wanting to buy into a brand as much as they buy from a brand and making their purchasing decisions based on, you know, what the brand stands for. So I think in terms of long-term brand health and growth and in our own long-term journey, we see that as an area that we should really focus on. And even research shows that brands that are purpose-led tend to outperform, you know, their competitors that aren't. And for us too, our coworkers are, you know, a huge sense of pride for us and a focus for us in our organization. And, you know, coworker retention and engagement and attracting new talent, we think that can be a big differentiator for us. So we actually are working on a big campaign right now where we can connect our purpose and our people in an even stronger way, because they are really the ones that own the positioning with our brand. We can do a lot from a communications marketing perspective, but it's that frontline interaction between our customer and our coworker that has the biggest impact on our brand.
So speaking of which, you are calling in from headquarters and you have a store connected, correct?
Yes. And okay. One thing that's different about IKEA, we would never say headquarters. We're a yeah. service office because yes. we are here to service the stores, and all of our service offices around the world are connected to the store. So we sit, so we're in the store essentially. And it was really important to our founder, Ingvar Kamprad, where, you know, we needed to know the realities of the stores. Mm-hmm. We even have front days where our service office coworkers need to spend time in the stores each year to work, to really understand the experience and what our our store coworkers go through, and the importance of that connection to them, to our product, and to our customers. So I think that's a fantastic, focus area. And back to when I talked a little bit about our culture and values before, they're not just words on a wall for us. They are really something that we bring to life and really hold true to everything that we do. And it's embodied in how we, spend our time with our coworkers, how we lead our business, especially over the last 2 years during COVID, our coworkers were at the heart of every business decision that we made. And we're so proud after 2 years of going through the pandemic, we were able to keep every single one of our coworkers employed throughout the course of the pandemic. And we had about 1,000 days of closures between all of our stores over a 2 year period. But protecting their livelihoods was our key priority.
It's amazing. What is your go-to, the days you forget your lunch and you go down to the IKEA cafeteria, mm-hmm. What's your go-to lunch?
My go-to, well, a little hidden secret or fun fact. So we have a coworker restaurant in all of our units, and we actually have different, well, we have the same menu, but we also have different things to mix it up a bit, if you will. But one of my favorites, actually, and now it's on the national menu, but it started here. It's our buttered chicken dish, and it was started by a Burlington coworker and would serve it in our coworker cafeteria or restaurant, as we say. And it was so popular that it's become one of our national dishes, and it's very tasty. So that I'm always happy when I see that on the menu.
It's amazing. I love that. Maybe this is just BC, and it probably is just BC, but Chabertin wine is the little mini bottles of red and white is from Langley, where we film these, and which is very exciting. So, but I love, okay, what is the cake? It's like a hazelnut, gluten-free cake, and it's chocolate.
The Dame cake.
The Dame cake. Oh, man. And
you
I like
buy to, that in the Swedish market,
yes,
too.
And you take it on. What I love is if I have a friend over who is gluten-free, It's amazing for gluten-free-ites, but it's also amazing for those that do eat gluten, because you're just like, this is the best cake in the world.
Absolutely. And, we're doing – and always a surprise, too. I think we have speaking storytelling, yeah, and engaging. Our food stories is really phenomenal in the sense, too, that we really think about sustainably sourced items, like our salmon's all MSC certified, and ASC certified as well, too. Our meatballs are all, hormone free. We're also introducing, the plant ball, a veggie meat, more of a meat substitute veggie ball.
Oh, those little patties, like the veggie patties? What are those things? The circle? You get them with the salmon?
Oh, yes. Those are the medallions, the vegetable medallions. Yeah,
oh, my,
exactly.
My family loves that. We get those in the frozen area, and those are a huge treat.
And it's such a great affordable way to feed the family, and we're doing more and more activations to draw people in, and in different markets we'll celebrate different milestones in the calendar year as well too, and really create that experiential retailing experience starting with our food. So it's been a great source for us in terms of driving some activity and awareness.
Anything. One thing I noticed, and I don't remember the exact date when it happened, but the partnership with Sonos, which I thought was very cool.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. And those that don't know this yet, but Sonos, you can actually get Sonos speakers that fit in your bookshelf, so it looks like a little book, or, kind of blends in, or you can get Sonos kind of artwork speakers. So tell me about partnering, and I think with another fellow, with a fellow Canadian company, and what that was like to do something together.
Absolutely. And I think that's what you're seeing more and more with IKEA, where we're looking for collaborations to stay more relevant, to have an always-on approach, to always come and see what's the new exciting thing. So we are doing more of those collaborations. And Sonos was a great partnership because, again, it's that function and form. And obviously, Sonos had its own following as well, too. And, two brands coming together to see the opportunity and making Sonos available to more of the many, certainly from a price perspective and that affordability lens. And we've done collaborations like that in the past, too, with Art Event, too, where we want to make design accessible to the many, to more people in ways like that. And that partnership was so great. Like you said, it started with a small bookshelf and a lamp, and then has evolved to a second partnership with them with the art frame, which is super cool. So I think you'll continue to see more and more of that, where we can attract and engage with new customer bases and realizing that there's some cool synergies out there with some other like-minded businesses.
That's incredible. For you, what are you excited about? What's next coming down the pipe for IKEA and kind of your role in this world?
Well, we're really excited about it. It's coming very soon. We're opening our first downtown location in Canada. So it's in right in the downtown heart of Toronto. So as you know, we've always been a little bit on the outskirts and more in a suburban area. But this is our first downtown format store right on Yonge Street, just a short walk from Eaton Centre and Dundas Square. So we're really excited about that. And it's a smaller format store. So it's not your typical IKEA big box store. It's really created in the existing fabric of the community. And it'll be a new way for our customers to interact with the brand and shop with us. So we're really excited there. But again, it'll be supporting that foot traffic piece. So to your point, where not everyone is driving a vehicle and can make their way out or have the time to make their way out to IKEA. This is really making us more, accessible, which has been another key priority for us to, knowing not everyone wants to spend a whole day coming to IKEA and shopping. You know, what other services can we do? What other ways can we, make us super affordable, convenient, but accessible, and combining all those. So we're really excited about that. That'll be later this spring that we'll be opening that. I think continuation of exciting partnerships with other well-known designers and brands. You'll start to see more and more of that in the coming years. And really leaning into our purpose-led, we think there's a huge opportunity, and we're just at the surface, but where we can engage more. Pride festivities are coming up. That's going to be a big focus area for us. Also, we're starting to do more with Indigenous Peoples Day, too, and we want to have a bigger impact there. I don't know if you know it or not already, but in some of our units, we've been doing, and this is what I love about some of the ED&I work, it really starts at our units, really getting behind a project and wanting to bring it to life in a big way. So in Edmonton and Halifax, we have worked with local Indigenous communities to bring Indigenous life to life in our showrooms, so you can see the representation. So that's been great. We're going to roll that out nationally, too, because there's been so much engagement and interest there. We've done some various art installations. So I'm most passionate about the work that we're doing. And we're, in early days, but I really think that and our coworkers have so much pride for this work. And I think there's a big opportunity and a big space that we can play and help to facilitate and lift voices and really be there to support broader community in Canada. So I'm really excited about that next stage for us.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Amazing. So June, possibly, I want to go for a nice meatball dinner with my family.
Yes.
I could show up in IKEA Coquitlam and possibly in the showroom there would be maybe a beautiful display of Indigenous.
So it'll probably... In, I think we're going to tie it actually to Truth and Reconciliation Day in September, but in the fall, possibly.
That's great. There's lots of days to celebrate. That's great.
Yes, lots of days to celebrate. Exactly. Yeah. But there is, I know there was a temporary art installation in Coquitlam that we did recently with the Indigenous communities there, and that received a lot of just love and support. So you'll continue to see more of that, and we want to see where we can have that impact. And we know that we have a big platform too. So if we can also partner and have to amplify, various voices in our community and the work that we're doing, we're looking to do more and more of that.
It's amazing. And what I find so fascinating too about IKEA is that you have been the kind of catalyst birther of so many businesses and jobs in the economy in Canada outside of IKEA. So Kitsch, who's based in Alberta, his entire business is based around saying, go buy IKEA cabinets and I'll do a cool cover for them and make it look even cooler. Like, it's like the, hey, take this and we'll partner with IKEA. Mm-hmm. And there's no official relationship, but he's kind of built an entire business around, he knows they're going to get IKEA, but here's some alternatives. Or TaskRabbit, go get your IKEA furniture and take it home. And if you're overwhelmed, you can just go to the app and TaskRabbit. There's all sorts of folks listed who are IKEA builder experts, self-proclaimed.
Absolutely.
Of course. Yeah, yeah.
Well, we actually bought TaskRabbit.
Oh.
So we own TaskRabbit. So that is one that is another surprise. So we did. We bought TaskRabbit a few years ago. But exactly, there was already a need in the market. And that was one of the number one requests before we acquired TaskRabbit, where it was
that's
IKEA
really cool.
Furniture assembly. So it's seeing what the need is in the market and, where we can also offer solution and becoming more innovative in that tech space too. We just recently acquired as well too a company called Geomagical Labs, doing more with augmented reality and room visualization and what we can do there too. So, really, like you said, seeing the need or what are some of the pinpoints or the frustrations in the marketplace and where we can help to either facilitate or support that, or is there a new opportunity within our own business too, knowing that not everyone wants to assemble themselves or has the time to, right? So, or shop all day. So So we've also another interesting thing that you may not know. We've also committed to having 100% EV delivery fleet by 2025. So we've also invested in Bolt EV delivery because we know that was another. So we have EV chargers at all of our locations for those that want to choose a more sustainable mode of transportation to our stores. But we also realize now with omni-channel and more people ordering online, more trucks are on the road, what could we do in terms of our part to reduce our carbon emissions and reduce our footprint? So that's been another exciting initiative based on kind of what we're seeing around us and the role that we can play in climate action and accelerating positive growth in that sense.
It's amazing. Foldable strainer. Not just that for your taking up less space in your covers, but also helping the environment at the same time. That's pretty incredible.
Well, exactly. And that's another thing too. People are always surprised to hear about the products, but every product we build has five dimensions. We call it democratic design, but looking at it through the lens of affordability, sustainability, quality, function, and form. We always say anyone can build and make an expensive product, but if you can make it a product that does all that at an affordable price for the many or those with thin wallets, and to feel good. And back to that conversation about people's purchasing decisions where, if you knowing that all of our cotton is sustainably sourced, so when you buy a textile, a throw pillow from IKEA, you can feel good about that, and sharing the story more in the background and knowing that, our supply chain were fully audited in IWAY to make sure that we're really providing good lives for those that we work with in our supply chain as well, too. So really having that more transparent journey of a product.
I feel like there are more, people who check all the boxes of B Corp just haven't gone through the process of it. Mm-hmm. And you're living and breathing every part of it, which is so cool.
Absolutely. You're right. And I think even more we're looking, how do we start to, because there are more of these, SDGs and globally recognized accreditations and things like that where we can, because we're doing a lot of it and we've been doing a lot of it, like you said, behind the scenes, but it's, our job as communicators to really to get the narrative out there and back to that storytelling piece. And, another key group to help us on that journey is our museum coworker ambassadors. They're the number one ambassadors for the brand. And, you know, we're trying to empower them more to share the stories because they want to. And just, you know, we haven't provided that vehicle or opportunity in past. So that's another way, you know, through LinkedIn, you always see some of the achievements being shared. And it, I think it means more to people than, you know, not just coming from the corporate message, but, you know, when coworkers are sharing about it or at the dining table and somebody works at IKEA and sharing those rich stories of the work that we're doing, that goes such a long way in building that trust piece.
And I didn't even really, I saw some of the like endeavors and campaigns, yes. But I didn't know the depth by which IKEA lived and breathed sustainability. That's mm-hmm. that's pretty incredible. Or, you know, embracing indigenous people through these art mm-hmm. and showcase opportunities. That's incredible. With all this that's happening, and even like, you know, the boxes, the way you pack them, it takes up less room and it's easier to ship and so many things. It helps me, even me, reframe when I think to shop at IKEA, what does that mean? And I'm actually doing, you know, it's kind of like the triple bottom line. It actually is helping mm-hmm. in many levels. What I want to talk about is TikTok. One of the craziest kind of movements on TikTok is life hacks and furniture mm-hmm. hacks. And IKEA, you are often the primary subject of these TikTok videos, which again, you have not paid any of them. None of them work for you, but they are showcasing the amazing things you can do with IKEA. What has that been like just watching it as a brand to see your brand talked about so much? I mean, outside of Fight Club, you know, back in the day, but you know, it's being talked about in such a positive manner.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I think, you know, it, again, it goes to show the love and affinity for the brand. We've been in Canada for 45 years and, you know, a global brand that's been around has 70 years of roots. So it's great to see, especially with the evolution of technology. And even though we're not on TikTok ourselves yet, and we talk about, okay, maybe we do need to be on TikTok and engage in new ways. But just like Pinterest too, the IKEA hacks, you know, it's nice that, you know, to be such a well-loved brand that everyone knows, you know, and there's always that functional, rational relationship with the brand. But if we can even take it one step further to have that deeper connection with, you know, our engaged audience, what does that look like too in a more meaningful way and tell some of these bigger stories? But yeah, we absolutely love it. And we are starting to partner with influencers more because the landscape's changing all around us. And how do we, yeah, reach new audiences, engage in the ways that people want to engage with the brand? But yeah, it's been very exciting to watch and fun. And, you know, we are a brand that likes to have, we always say, the twinkle in the eye. So some of those fun activations definitely are very much in line with who we are as a brand, for sure.
It's fun. You know what I find is there's all sorts of influencer agencies now that do consumer influencers. And you can find them everywhere. Everywhere you turn, you bump into one these days, it seems like. But I've yet to see an influencer agency that does B2B influencers. So I'm trying to think on the IKEA side, mm-hmm. you know, you have an incredible kind of office environment place, right? And so, and these offices are changing, right? People are making more like phone booth rooms and adjusting yes. their workspaces to make it more of like a work from home drop-in type of place. It'd be interesting to find a B2B influencer who would talk about kind of the way they've used IKEA to shift their office environment even and stuff like that.
Absolutely. And we saw, you know, the home and the demands we put on home for the last 2 years and, you know, working from home now. And even, I mean, that's been a trend that I've been really staying close to, like this future of work, knowing that what does it look like in, you know, this next, as we all come back, because people want that flexibility. But, you know, there still is a need to get together in person for co-creation, collaborating, celebrating and connecting. And even our own service office is set up more of that, you know, hotel style drop in. Nobody has their own desk anymore. But yeah, there's a huge opportunity there. And how do we change the function of, but also create it, you know, when you come in, we want it to feel inspirational and dynamic. So I think there's a huge opportunity there. One of the things that I think about as a communicator when we talk about future of work, okay, we figured out, we're really great at doing things in person, and we figured out how to do things, you know, fairly well over the last 2 years remotely. But what does it look like as we kind of come out of this and the digital experience, right, where we're always going to have some kind of hybrid, even when we think of events that we used to put on, coworker engagement and togetherness, as a retailer, you know, we do have we've had a lot of new coworkers join us in the during the pandemic that only know IKEA through the pandemic. So what does the new coworker engagement or engagement with our customers who may choose to be, you know, in store but also online? So you're right. I think there is a lot still to be explored there and sort of new terrain for all of us to figure out.
I know that I have ordered quite a lot of IKEA because we ended up moving during the last couple of years. And we made a mass order for our new place. And then we had a TaskRabbit person come. They spent the whole day with us. It was very exciting.
Hope it was a good experience.
It was incredible, actually. I made IKEA like amazing. Like I was like, oh, this is the best. Because I've tried to move IKEA stuff in the past, like a bunk bed one time. Mm-hmm. Not a great idea. But the one thing I would say is like, I don't imagine myself going back into store unless it's for like a really fun meal that I've missed. Or this September, the art experience, or the culture, I would actually go with my family, be like, let's go there and get it. Because it's what's so neat about IKEA, actually. Actually, the last time I went that I remember pre-COVID was family were from here, from out of town. We went for a walk through IKEA looking at stuff. It was like going to the zoo almost, but it was like looking at rooms and getting inspiration and ideas. And it was such a neat experience. And then we all went for a meal afterwards and had an ice cream and all that good stuff. I got a Dame cake, of course. But I'm an anecdotal one. I'm sure there's lots of other people who are going and attending and experiencing it firsthand and not ordering online.
Absolutely. And I think, and that's what we want our showrooms to be, inspirational, idea generating. But we also know that we need to do more to get people out. People are busy to get into their vehicle or take the public transit to get to one of our stores. We really want to make sure that it's a fantastic experience, whatever that looks like. So we're doing more and more experiential retailing in terms of whether it's food activations, workshops, to really make sure. And of course, we want to have exceptional customer experience in all of our channels, to really have that seamless omni-channel, because we know customers don't think in channels. You know, it's I'm online, then I'm going to come to the store, back and forth. So we want to make sure that at every touch point you have that exceptional experience. But knowing that to get you out there, that we really need to make sure that it's, why am I coming into the store? We have to give you a reason to come in. And that said, of course, for, when you can only just shop quickly, we have, curbside click and collect where you can just run in quickly. You can order, and we're trying to really enhance our service offer to meet everyone's needs, just knowing that people are crunched for time and don't necessarily want to shop that way anymore. So really providing that full, fulsome experience, no matter how you choose to shop with us.
And when you think about omnichannel, the other fun thing to think about too is like, all the different channels. Sonos actually, they brought me back to IKEA because it was like, look what we've made with it. And I was like, this is amazing, because I fell in love with Sonos and the way that they de-wired my home. And it was such a reliable, clean thing. Mm-hmm. And then the two brands align so well, right? Like clean and slick and functional and looks good in your home.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's what we're hoping through some of these collaborations and new. You may know that we've gotten away from that once a year physical catalog, but now we want to invite people in at least four times a year. We have four different launch collections to again inspire that, hey, come back to IKEA. There's new things to see, and you don't have to just come once a year. There's at least four different times in a year that you're going to see new and exciting product from us and some cool collaborations.
Okay, you know what would work? Here's an idea. Just throwing this out there. I'm just giving this to you. So I've got four kids. So I've got a 15-year-old, 8-year-old, 6-year-old, and a 3-year-old. So I'm giving you context. And I've seen this kind of work in other ways in the past before. But if you said because I registered for that family thing a while ago. Mm-hmm. Do you know the IKEA family?
Yeah, our loyalty program.
Yes. Okay. So if somehow, I think you might have my kids' data information, but if somehow on my kids' birthdays, much like back in the day with Baskin Robbins or Red Robin, if you had there's a term for it, a loss leader. You had a stuffy that my kid could collect and go, and every year it's a different stuffy, and every year it's 2011, 2012 or whatever, and they could get a stuffy. It'd be such a fun excuse for me to be like, well, I don't want to take them for an ice cream, and I don't think they really do free ice cream anymore. I don't even know if Baskin Robbins survived COVID, but I would I would drive to IKEA because it'd be a fun excuse with my kid. Like maybe it's all, and maybe all, we all go and they get this stuffy because they show their passport or birth certificate, and then we look at the new collection. So you would get my family at least 4 times a year.
I love it. And I think, and again, I know we're doing more, and I will pass that on to our IKEA family team.
Just throwing that.
And again, it's what's that added value as a loyalty member too?
Totally.
What added, you know, value is am I going to get as an IKEA family member and doing more and more of that? But another thing you may not know, but I'm so impressed with all of your IKEA knowledge. Actually, I'm very impressed with how much you already know about the brand. But on the stuffy conversation, the last few years, each year we have a drawing competition where children create a different stuffy or a little small toy, and it gets turned into an IKEA product. And we actually had a winner from Saskatchewan affiliated with the Edmonton store this past year. And it was a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. It was Sandwich Friends, it was called. Yes.
I need that. I need that for my company. I own Jelly Marketing is my company.
Oh, yes, exactly. Yes. And it's a peanut butter and jelly. Yeah, exactly. We'll figure out how to get you one.
Yes, yes. We need these. We need these.
I'll send you the link, but it was, and that's so nice. And then all the proceeds go back to local charities in the market. So there is that purpose connection.
That's incredible. So many things. Are you feeling ready for the rapid fire transition over?
Yes, I know. Well, again, it's been such a fun conversation, and you're so up on your IKEA products and collabs. So it's been really exciting.
Oh, it's very cool. Thank you. I was like, my home, I walked through my home even this morning. I was like, my entire home is IKEA, and even our entire off. It just works, right? It's just.
It really does.
Yeah. We got this great, my 3-year-old has this great bed, and then there's a bed underneath the bed. And then he even has a bed for his stuffy because you guys sell a little doll bed thing. So he's like, it's great. And then
I have 3 kids as well too. So I think I have that same Hemneys day bed Hemneys. That then turns into a big king bed. Yes,
exactly. And it matches his drawers.
And the stuffy bed.
Yes. He's got his chest of drawers and then a bookshelf. But I digress. Here we go. What was your first ever job?
So in retail, I actually worked at Arden Accessories. So they've had a transformation of their own now because it was all more jewelry, costume jewelry and things like that. But when I go by now, it's a lot of clothing. So that was my first, and really wore all the hats of retail, from product sales, logistics. It was great. It was a really great experience. It's a first-time job.
That's awesome. Night owl or early bird?
Used to be a night owl, but as I've gotten older, early bird, and I definitely by 9 o'clock I'm ready for bed. It feels like so early, early bird.
Nice. Cat or dog person?
I like both, but I got a COVID puppy, so nice. I have a little dog now that we got in November, and she's been a great addition to the family.
That is awesome. What's the first thing that you marketed and or communicated about and for?
Well, I guess one of the first things that I marketed about was the Toronto Waterfront vision. So it wasn't a product, but it was a vision. And, I think it's coming back to that a little bit, too, as we talk about the vision that we want to market now, too, and not just the product. So lots of learnings there for sure.
Dark or milk chocolate?
Both, but I feel like dark's the healthier version, but not too much that it's so bitter. Yeah. So,
yeah. I gotcha. Favorite word right now?
Ooh, I'm going to say divergent thinking. We've been talking about that a lot at IKEA. And, as we are going through this transformation of our own business, and to really, be open to thinking in new ways, right, and connecting the dots in ways maybe we hadn't in the past. So that's been we're talking a lot about that as our team planning meetings.
That's awesome. What's the last charity you supported financially or with your time, and why?
Absolutely. We've been doing a lot. So both actually my individual needs, but also at IKEA, we've been doing a lot in the food insecurity space, just knowing, especially in the last 2 years, so many people have been impacted by COVID. And here in Burlington, for example, connecting with Gift of Giving Back food program and Food for Thought, you think, and it's hidden where, they really package food for families to take home on the weekend, or the children to take home on the weekend, so they can have nutritious meals. And it's, the numbers are way more than you would ever expect. And so I think we've been doing a lot, even at IKEA Canada for many years, doing a lot with the National Breakfast Club's program, just how important a healthy start to the day is and the role that food can play in that.
Yeah, it's huge. Thank you, Shannon. What's a movie that you just love? You can watch it over and over and over again.
You know what I'm going to say right now with my kids? I have three kids as well, too. And the two new Disney movies, or the new animated movies. So Encanto's been great. And even and Turning Red, too, which is in Toronto.
Yes.
And it's been so nice to have it more inclusive in terms of representation.
Yeah.
And and the storylines have been so much more dynamic for the characters. So I've really enjoyed both of those, especially watching with my daughter.
And mentioning Toonies and Loonies, not just the green.
And the Sky Dome. I still call the Rogers Center the Sky Dome, and it's been 20 years.
Oh, that's awesome. What's your favorite song or album on repeat right now?
Oh, geez. I'm one of those types of gals that I don't have a certain song. I love, it depends on what mood I'm in, and I don't necessarily like one album or one artist, but I'm really into the activity, the curated playlist based on activities right now. So I was listening to on Apple, Office DJ, just kind of that fun, upbeat. But I really have eclectic taste in music.
No, that's great. That's awesome. And if you weren't doing this job, what would you be doing with your life?
Oh, interesting. You know, at one point I thought I wanted to be an occupational therapist, which is very different than communications, but in some way helping people. I've always had that connection to people. So that I think is, but I also like marketing too and advertising, although there's already a lot of synergies here. But in university, occupational therapy was one of the things I was interested in.
That's cool. What's an app on your phone you just can't live without?
So anything that makes life a little bit easier, for sure. So one thing that I've done with the kids, I don't know if you're familiar with this app, it's called Mido, and it really teaches kids about, money, responsibility. You can assign tasks for them like you would for an allowance, and it's all digital, so you can send the money to them. They have a card that they can use with it, and again, it's a prepaid, so it only has the limit of the money that you've sent, and, walking the dog, for example, and it teaches them about money, budgeting. You see what they spend their money on, and it's been a really great, and all of a sudden people want to do chores in the house with this, so it's been great. But any of the, and I live my life on my phone and do most of my personal administration there, so lots of to-do list apps and anything that makes life a little bit easier, including ordering food apps and things like that, and groceries.
That's awesome. I'm gonna check out that Mido. That sounds awesome.
Yeah, it's wonderful.
Favorite children's book?
You know what? And again, with the kids, I've always loved Robert Munsch, a good Canadian author. The stories have always been fun. I've enjoyed reading them again with my kids and then kind of reliving through them. So I think that all of his stories, I guess I Love You Forever is my most favorite. Yeah. And I think I still tear up when I hear that story. But it's been great. The classics that really are still relevant today.
Yeah. Was it Mermel, Mermel, Mermel?
Or Smelly Socks right now is another one that we have on repeat. The kids get into.
That's awesome.
Below zero,
What's the best thing that you ever bought for under $10?
Oh, well, I'm going to of course, give an IKEA product nod here. And it's, I think it's actually even under $5. It's our apple cutter. I don't know if you, it's green.
Yes.
I think it's called Spritta. It's $4.99, but with three kids, I make a lot of lunches, three lunches a day. Apple's a go-to, and it just is such a seamless way to cut an apple, and that's one of my favorites, and it's such a great find.
Yeah, no, it's a great one, and then it's just the cleaning, and then you just got to, there's a cleaning trick. Once you figure out the cleaning trick, it's the best, yes.
Yes, you're right, that's a good point.
You got to clean it quickly, because it can harden on there, the little apple pieces, so yeah.
Otherwise, exactly.
I know. What's the most important thing you ever changed your mind about?
I think for us as a business here right now, it's, we had, one way of doing things for so long, and it was so successful and the right way to do it. But, the world's changing all around us. So I think just it's important to open our eyes about the changing needs of the business and being open to evolving with it. And that goes with communications and marketing, too. Like when I started 20 years ago, some of the ways that we would do communications or PR, that has changed. So I think every year, the team and I, and we had some planning today, we sit down and say, what was working before and, you know, what's not working today, and not being afraid to change it. And we were saying today, just because we did it before doesn't mean that we need to do it today. So I think it's constantly challenging yourselves to say, is this still working? Is this still relevant? And not being afraid to shift, even though we have some legacy, right? So I think just being open to that growth mindset, and that's definitely been something that I've pushed the team on, and certainly as a business, we've had lots of discussions about and not remaining stagnant, just growing and evolving the business and ourselves as individuals.
That's awesome. Business or marketing books that you recommend?
I'm really in right now to, again, a little bit to follow up on that, is organizational leadership books. I really like Brené Brown, and that's another thing I can say I've changed my mind on. I really, you know, love what she talks about in terms of vulnerable leadership and being open. I think I grew up in the generation was fake it till you make it and don't show weakness. And hey, nobody had a handbook on how to lead a global pandemic and lead communications through it. So being vulnerable to say, you know, I may not have all the answers, but together we will find the answers and we will find our way. And for us, it's really important to use our, when we're making decisions and we're faced with dilemmas, use our culture and values as our guiding light. If it, you know, if it, when we mirror it up to our culture and values, then all of a sudden the decision becomes very easy for us, right? So I think being open and being that empathetic leader with trust. I mean, I've always tried to be empathetic, but also, you know, showing when I maybe don't have it all together and need the team's extra support. So that's been something. So I really like Brené Brown and her podcasts, her books, and really it connects with me.
That's awesome. That's really good. So speaking of which, podcast, newsletter, or website that you go to for inspiration, ideas?
I kind of all of the above. I love, you know, scrolling through social media on Instagram, seeing brands that connect with me, podcasts I'm listening to more and more, and like Work Life by Adam Grant. I just spoke about Brené Brown. Certainly follow a lot of newsletters, industry related, whether marketing or communications. Read a lot of news, just again, in the role that I'm in, I'd like to have a lot of information that I can quickly digest and consume.
That is awesome. Life hack that you'd be willing to share?
A life hack. I think as I've gotten older, and again, 20 years of my career, just remembering to take some time for myself. And, you know, self-care is really important. And we've been talking about this a lot in our organization about, you know, your own mental health and well-being, and really making sure that you're, you know, you can't take care of anyone else if you haven't taken care of yourself. And as a parent, too, I think we wear many hats. So that means, you know, blocking time out of my days. We have wellness days at IKEA, for example. We rebranded, we had sick days, and we rebranded them to wellness days and encouraged people to actually take them off when they had appointments, when they needed a day, when they had to take care of children, because that adds struggle. And we know people have lives outside of, you know, their work life. So I think myself putting that into practice too, setting healthy boundaries, going for walks and getting, you know, outside in nature. Sometimes when I'm stuck with a dilemma, a good night's sleep or a walk will help me, you know, really clarify where I want to go and bring me that clarity. So really important to take care of yourself. I used to think, oh, I'll sleep later, I'm young, I'm invincible. But no, it's really important as I've gotten older to take care of myself so I can take care of others and show up as my best self at work and at home.
And it might have been intentional, but you talked about the secret restaurant for coworkers and staff when they work at IKEA. Those that are like, man, I want to work at IKEA one day, or I want to switch from where I am to IKEA, or they're just, you know, in university, college, and they want to work in IKEA one day. What's your encouragement? What do you look for when you bring on new team members?
Well, we really want people that are passionate about the brand to, you know, if they have an interest in home furnishing, but if they want to really, you know, customer experience or customer excellence and really providing that opportunity to engage with our customers in great ways. One thing that we share, we really want our coworkers to see IKEA as a lifelong career for them, that there's lots of opportunities. And I love the stories, and there's so many stories like this at IKEA where, you know, I'll meet somebody who now works, you know, with the global organization, say in Sweden, but started, you know, here in Burlington as the part-time carts co-worker. So I think that you can really have a meaningful career in retail, and certainly at IKEA, and we are a company that fosters and wants to create that opportunity and development and give people a chance. I think anyone who really wants to be with a brand, who wants to have that legacy and that create that greater purpose in society, but also, you know, people that want to grow with us, and then absolutely there's always lots of opportunity.
That's incredible. Where can people find you and get a hold of you, or where can they go online to learn more?
Perfect. Absolutely. So of course, IKEA.ca, you know, is our website. We also on LinkedIn are starting to share more of these corporate journeys and some of the stories. I'm on LinkedIn as well too, where we can share some of the broader work that we're doing. So definitely you can find me under Tanya Bevington at LinkedIn. I'm on Instagram as well too. Same handle. We're happy to, and hopefully you see more and more of our stories out there and sharing more, because there's a big opportunity to tell them and people, and it matters to people, and they want to know more and feel good about shopping with us. And I hope they do, because we're a company, and I feel very privileged working for a company that is wanting to have that bigger impact in society. We always say we want to be known as more than just a home furnishing company, and I think that we're doing that, which is fantastic to be a part of.
Yeah, I've been a fan, and I'm even becoming a deeper fan because of this chat.
Oh, so wonderful.
Thank you, Tanya, so much. Thank you for being here. I hope when you come out to the BC stores, you raise a glass of Chabertin in honor of a great Langley winery. And they're mini little bottles. They're just so cute. You just can't help but put one on your tray.
Oh, that's wonderful. I will definitely do that when I'm out, and I will be visiting both stores. So that's great. And I really appreciate your love for the brand and the great conversation today. It was, I think we could have talked all afternoon about the work that we're doing and the products and your experience. And yeah, it's been great to be able to share our story.
Awesome. Well, thank you for joining us for another week of Marketing News Canada. We'll see you next time on the show.
Thanks for listening to Marketing News Canada. For more episodes and other great stories from Canadian marketers, visit marketingnewscanada.com. All episodes are recorded in the Jelly Marketing Studio, thanks to our producer, Chris Penner, and editors Travis Jeffers and The Podfather.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.